This is Jack. Jack is happy. Jack is happy because he's in his comfort zone. Go, Jack, go. Jack is a good driver. However, he has been stopped for DUI, driving underinflated. Jack loves to go to church. Go to church, Jack, go! Jack used to enjoy visiting with friends over a good meal at church. However, he stopped going to meals at church because meeting new people is out of Jack's comfort zone. Jack used to volunteer in the children's ministry. However, he stopped that because children are outside of his comfort zone. Oh, look at them giggle. That's gonna make Jack cry. Jack tried attending a small group one time. However, the leader said, "Jack, why don't you share with us?" And that, you guessed it, was outside of his comfort zone. Jack has many dreams, desires, and ambitions. He wants his life to count for something. However, that will never happen, because life lived inside the comfort zone is life lived outside of God's will.
How's it going, guys? I thought that was a good video, and I decided I would share it with you guys today. That was my idea, yes. So that video is kind of what I want to speak about, and it's honestly just the essence of spacewalking. So I thought it was just kind of fun. And obviously, it's a little bit of an over-exaggeration because, I mean, not too many people are scared to go to church just because they're going to have to meet new people. But I thought it was a good representation of like kind of how we live our lives. So we live our lives in our comfort zone, guys. And that's just like the way we just are trained from young age, especially here in America. We're trained to live inside of our comfort zone and not step out. And really that it gives a good example of like how that can hold you back. You know, like not going to church because it's outside of your comfort zone. You don't meet new people. I mean, that's a huge deal. You know, stuff like that. And some more practical, like non-biblical reasons actually of like stepping out of your comfort zone. I give some examples, like, I'm not comfortable in a test, okay? I'm not, like, in school, you know, I'm not comfortable when I'm taking a test, but, like, I have to take a test, right? Because I have to take a test for school, and that I have to step out, and that's even just a small thing. Or, like, for a job interview, I mean, not a lot of you guys, I'm assuming, have taken, like, gone to a job interview, but, like, when you're going to a job interview, all right, so I get my tie ready, I chew some gum beforehand to make sure my breath's good, and I'm like, you know, and I'm all scared, but I have to do this because I need a job. So I will go and I'll step out of my comfort zone for the job, you know? So like, those are just some practical examples of like in life, how you can step out of your comfort zone and without even like putting the Bible, the biblical aspect behind it, like you guys already do it. Okay. So like, just think about this practically today, guys. Okay. So, in Joshua, I just want to talk about that. God was like, when I was praying, like, what he wanted me to speak today, he was just kind of like, I want you to speak about Joshua and dissect, like, the beginning of Joshua and explain to you guys how Joshua stepped out of his comfort zone, okay? So for those of you, if I get that on the screen, for those of you who don't know who Joshua is, so Moses is the guy that is right before Joshua, all right? He is the leader of the Israelites. They don't have a king because this is before they have a king, before Saul and David and all that. They don't have a king. They just got out of slavery and were led through the wilderness for 40 years, okay, by Moses. Well, Moses just died just before, like literally the last verse before Joshua is talking about Moses being dead, okay? Moses just died. So Joshua is taking over for Moses. He hasn't really done anything yet. He's just taking over. And so this right here is God talking to Joshua about, like, what he wants him to do next, you know, like how he wants him to start off this leadership and how he wants him to go about it. So listen to this. Be strong and courageous. I can't see that word. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Next verse. I think there was more. So, did you have more? Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, so study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So in the Bible, when God says something three times, that means something special, okay? When God says something three times, that means he means it, okay? He's not just saying it and you're supposed to forget about it. If he says something three times, that means he's trying to make you make sure that you are remembering it. So anytime you're reading the Bible, if you see something three times in a row in like a short span, pay attention, figure out what God is saying in that. So in this, God says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Three different times to Joshua. So you know what that means? Joshua is scared, okay? Joshua is taking over, and he's sitting here. I can just imagine what him and God are doing. He's probably sitting here praying like God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Like, I'm scared. That's what I imagine Joshua saying to God. And God is saying, be strong and courageous. I have given you this leadership role, so be strong and courageous. Joshua is not comfortable, guys. I'll tell you that. Like, imagine taking over God's people and everything rides on you, okay? What happened with Moses, the guy before him, he disobeyed God, and so that's why Moses didn't go into the promised land. So Joshua is sitting here like, not even Moses was worthy to make it into the promised land where I'm supposed to lead these people. How am I supposed to do that? That's what Joshua is thinking right now. So think about how scary that is for Joshua. So he is saying, God, I got to have you for this. And God is saying, I got you, okay? I got you. So, sorry, I didn't even look at my notes. I got to figure out where I am. So guys, stepping out like this with Joshua, I mean, that takes courage. That's a given, you know? Spacewalking in general, you can't spacewalk without courage. You can't spacewalk without God giving you the courage to do it. If you are going to your job interview and you have no courage, I mean, you're not going to be able to, you're going to do terrible at that job interview, okay? If you are supposed to go talk to somebody, you know, I'm going to sit over here, like if I'm supposed to, you know, tell this person about God, I'm going to be scared, but I'm going to pray, God, give me courage. I'm going to walk up to them, and then I'm going to start talking, and I'm going to trust God is going to give me courage throughout that conversation. So you have to trust in God to give you that courage, just like he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. He's declaring that over Joshua. So we're going to just jump down to Joshua 1, 16 through 18. And what happened here, guys, is so Joshua turns, okay, God, thank you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to the guards and he says, all right, prepare the men. We're going to cross the Jordan and we are going to scout out Jericho and we are going to do what God wants us to do, okay? Joshua is scared, but God said, be strong and courageous. So he is stepping out of his comfort zone. He's popping that bubble. He's stepping out and he's saying, I'm going to do this. I'm scared, but I'm going to do this because God told me to, okay? So he tells the men, get ready. And this is what their response is to him, okay? So they answer Joshua, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. They're saying it back to Joshua. This is God, okay, guys? So what I think is really cool here, so Joshua is, he's just, you know, he's scared right now. And I bet you all the Israelites are kind of curious what God wants to do right now because they don't know. They know that God, Joshua is supposed to lead them into the promised land, but they don't really understand, like, what that's going to look like. And so they're like, we're going to follow you because God said to, okay? So that takes courage, too. But you know what that means? Joshua's courage, sorry, I want to make sure I'm saying this right. Joshua's courage was contagious, guys. When Joshua stepped out and did what God told him to do, it was contagious. the people he was over, the Israelites, they were catching on to what God was doing in Joshua, and he was the leader, yes, but like he was just following God, and then they were following him because it's contagious, guys. If you step out, people will follow, okay? And what that means is if I'm in my school and I'm telling people about God, it's going to catch on. Okay, it's going to catch on not only in your school, but also in Emanate. Because people will see that he can do it, she can do it, I can do it. I can do it. I know it's scary, but I'm going to be strong and courageous because I see that God is working through them. Okay, so be strong and courageous. Don't be scared that like you'll be the only one or that things won't work out. Because God works in crazy ways, guys. God works in crazy ways. So what ends up happening here, I'm just going to run through it. The scouts go check out Jericho, okay? They're like, blah, blah, blah. There's a giant wall around Jericho. Joshua, what do we do about that? You know, there's a giant wall. How are we supposed to take this down? And so Joshua goes to God, and God's like, yo, you're going to walk around Jericho. That's how you're going to defeat Jericho, okay? That's crazy to me. Thinking about it now, like personally, I think that sounds crazy. God, like, we're going to just walk around it and it's going to fall. And on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it seven times and it's going to fall, you know? And so like they're like, Joshua, we're going to do it. So then they just start walking and they're just like walking around Jericho. And technically they're not supposed to be talking, but I have a mic, so I can't really stop talking. So they're just walking. And I can just imagine the people inside Jericho are probably like, what the heck, you know? Like, what is going on? Why are they walking around? And there's all of the Israelites. This isn't just like seven people. This is all of the Israelites. They're just walking around Jericho, okay? And they're all ready for battle. They're all suited up and everything. This is really weird hearing myself over in that speaker right there. But so they're just walking. And then all of a sudden, on the seventh day, they do it seven times. And then they yell. They scream. They shout praises to God. That's got to be awkward, okay? That's got to be really awkward just doing that. I don't. That's not comfortable, guys. But God told them to do it. So they did it. And guess what happens? The walls of Jericho, they don't fall out, which is like weird because that's not like scientifically they should fall out when like the walls, because, you know, there's four walls, so they should fall out. But they fall in. Okay, according to scholars, that's what they say happened. So the walls of Jericho begin to collapse, and then they go raid Jericho and victorious. And, you know, God, we talk about the story thousands of years later, okay? Like 4,000 years later or something like that. But so that's crazy to me, you know, that an entire nation was able to just follow and trust in God. Like God, if they can do that, we can do the small things, okay? So how does this relate to us in our lifetime? And I've kind of hit this quick, but so this is just the small things like in your life, just stepping out when God tells you to. If you look at the Bible characters, not all of the things that they've done are directly in the Bible because they can't fit everything. But like if you look at all the characters, generally there's something small that they did for God before the big came. Okay, so let's say for Peter, you guys know Peter. He's a fisherman. Jesus walks up and says, hey, come fish for men with me. And then Peter gets out of the boat and goes and follows Jesus. That's something that we skip on. Like, that took courage, okay? That he had to step out of his comfort zone for that, okay? And so he gets out, and then later on, he does the things that he walks on water. You know, he raises people up and whatnot. Like, he had to do the small thing of just stepping out initially and following Jesus and just getting out of his comfort zone and just saying, I'm going to trust you. He had to do that before he could do the rest. So if you see, one thing for me is I've always, since I was your age, younger, whatever, I've always wanted to be special. I've always wanted to be great. And but I didn't have a Jericho to defeat. You know, I didn't have water that I was going to go walk on. So I couldn't be in the Bible. I couldn't be that type of person, but I could do what I'm supposed to do. I could step out like I'm supposed to step out. Another couple quick examples of other people. Esther, for those of you who know Esther, there was a long story, but quick story is she was very beautiful. And so she entered a almost like a talent show, but it's also kind of demanded by the king. He wanted to find the most beautiful, and she did what she was supposed to, stepped out, and followed God. Then he's going to, you know, destroy the Israelites or whatever, her people, and she's like, no, 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 king, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, if I'm in your presence and you didn't ask for me, you're supposed to kill me. But I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to say, you know, protect my people. You know, so she had to step out. She had to step out the small thing of just being herself and just trusting God in the show, the talent show, and then she could trust God in the big thing. Noah, I mean, think about this. So he is this guy who is, he's the only one in the world. Okay, think about that. The only one in the world that's actually following God like he should. I guarantee you that was not comfortable. I guarantee you that was not fun, easy. But he knew God, and he knew that it was worth it. So that came before God told him to build the ark. He had to do the small things before he could do the big things. Another quick example, Abraham. We sing songs about Abraham. He's the father of all of us, you know? So what he did, for example, he's just living his life, and God is like, yo, leave where you are, and I'm going to have you move. Move that way. I'm not going to tell you when to stop. So this isn't, they can't just get in their car and just start driving. They have to, you know, like, just start, like, a long journey. And he doesn't know if he's going to journey for a year, 2 years. He doesn't know when it's going to stop, but God told him to move, so he had to step out, okay? And then, later on in his life, if I could get Genesis 22 up. So, what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to be the father of all of us. He's supposed to have many nations, supposed to have descendants, the numbers of the stars. But God said, you're going to do this, and he's like, I'm old. He's really old. He can't have kids. He doesn't have any kids. So he has a kid, okay? And God's like, I just blessed you with this kid. And then God's like, but guess what? I want you to kill him. I want you to sacrifice your kid for me. And Abraham's like, so you told me I'm supposed to have descendants of many numbers. Then you gave me a kid when I wasn't supposed to have a kid. Now I'm supposed to sacrifice this kid for you? Think about that, okay? Well, guess what? So listen to this. So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. I think that's how you pronounce that. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Listen to this. The next morning, there's no conversation here. Abraham just did it. He just did it. Because God told him to. So the next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled his donkey and took his two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set up a place for God and told him about it. So this is awesome. He just did it, guys. And so for those of you who may not know the story, he goes to kill Isaac, and then an angel appears and is like, yo, you don't have to kill him. Okay, but he was faithful. So God is faithful back. You know, does that make sense? So this is all, I'm just going to sum this all up, guys. When you look at the Bible, every single character in there had to step out of their comfort zone. Every single character had to step out in faith, had to spacewalk at some point. And it's not about, what happened, it's the fact that they were willing to follow God no matter the consequences, no matter if it works out, no matter if it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out, God's plan is still God's plan. So in your life, I want you guys to just begin to think about what God is calling you to. So I know when I was your age, I was trying to think back at when I was your age, when I was preparing for this, and God was trying to tell me, like, what I thought when I was, hearing these type of messages. And what I would always think is, I would think of these things that God wants me to do. And then I would be like, well, I thought about that a month ago, And so it's not like it was just God telling me to do it. I mean, I had already thought about it myself. That's not God. God, what do you want me to do? That's not it. And then I would hear the same thing. And I'm like, well, that's not actually God. He would like if I did that, but I don't need to do that. I don't need to spacewalk in that way because I can do other things that are a little bit easier and have the same impact, you know? That's how I thought when I was your guys' age, and I want to speak to that. If something is reoccurring, if you have a really strong heart or you keep feeling like God wants you to do something, guys, whether it be starting to read your Bible, something as simple as that, whether it be being yourself and not following others' lead and just copying others or celebrities and whatnot, it's whether it's being yourself or something as small as that or as big as going and praying for someone who's sick. If God is telling you something, you're going to feel it in your heart and you're going to feel uncomfortable about it because you're feeling uncomfortable while not doing it. But when you do that, I promise you, God will be faithful. And whether that be God is faithful for and controls you and you learn from it, or whether it be God does what you think he could do, God will be faithful. So we're going to have Angela talk in a second, but I'm going to speak to your small groups today, guys. So, well, I'm speaking to what you should do in your small group. So what I want you to do is just be really open today, guys. Just begin to talk about, like, if you have something that God wants you to do and you feel like God is saying something, I want you to tell your leaders, okay? Because here's what's going to happen. They're going to help you. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we want to do. We want to help you achieve what God is telling you to do. So we're going to say, hey, I can, you know, do this for you, or I can help you in this way. Here's a verse about something similar. We're going to help you. So I really encourage you guys to bring it to your leaders, bring it to your small groups, because God can move, and especially in numbers, there's maturity and wisdom in numbers, guys. So I'm just going to pray over that, and then I'm going to have Angela come up. So God, I just pray over small groups today, God, and over your word, God. I pray that you just begin to just really speak, dear God, in our lives. God, I pray that you just begin to move, God, in this room, God. I just pray over blessings in this room and for the rest of the day, God. I pray that you just continue to speak, God, and just give us challenges, God. Challenge us in ways that we haven't been challenged before, God. In Jesus' name, God, I pray your name be lifted. Amen.
Thank you. Nice job, Tommy. So when Tommy was speaking, I felt I remembered a story that I hadn't thought about in a long time. Did you know that most people aren't afraid of heights? But the people that say they're afraid of heights, did you know that they're actually not afraid of heights? You know what they're actually afraid of? Not the mom. What? The edge. They're afraid of edges. So they're not afraid of heights. They're afraid of edges. So my husband's in the military, and he had this guard for a day, and he invited me as his wife to go. So guess what I got to do as a guard for a day? Got to rappel off a 3-story building. Okay, guess what was the scariest part? Well, no parachute, but that's what the edge. I mean, even now, just remembering that edge, that's what's terrifying. So I'm sitting there, no lie, in my harness, and my husband is like, okay, so imagine this is the edge of the building. Okay, so I'm backwards, about to go off the 3-story building. Why? Because my husband's in the military, and it was guard for the day, and I was going to accept this challenge, even though I was shaking. So I'm backwards, about to go off the building in a harness, and the most scary part, guys, is that edge. I was in a harness, and then there's this second of free falling, and then boom, the harness catches you. And then you were overwhelmed with endorphins and amazing feelings. And that's exactly what happens when we go to the edge with God. And I can tell you time after time in my personal life, I'm a little bit older than you guys, so I've had a couple experiences more than you. Even just 2 weeks ago, I ended up in a hospital for a girl that I had a connection with when she was 3 weeks, or in third grade, excuse me. And I had to be way out of my comfort zone. Way out of my comfort zone. This was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. I was on the edge. I was in a very scary place. I can't go into all the details. But God met me there. But I went into there shaking. I was on the edge. It's okay to be afraid, guys. It's okay to be afraid. But guess what's going to happen? You're going to be at that edge, and God's going to catch you. You're going to have that moment of free falling for a second or two. But then after that, you are going to be so empowered. It's incredible. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall deeper in love with Jesus. And it's just going to keep getting deeper and deeper. And it's so incredible. It is worth everything to step to that edge and go off. And you know, most of the time, it's little things like Tommy was saying. It's little things. It's going out of your comfort zone and saying hi to that person. It's little things. But that one little thing will lead to another thing, will lead to another thing, will lead to another thing. And you keep getting on those edges. So I just want to encourage you. I just remember that story today. So I wanted to tell you guys, don't be afraid of the edge because God's going to catch you. Okay? So two things to help you get out of your comfort zone and step on the edge. February 7th, we're going to have this out of the darkness night. Okay? And a lot of you know people that are really hurting. Some of you may be hurting inside. You may have this mask on the outside that everything's fine, but deep inside you're suffering from depressive thoughts, suicidal thoughts. Well, that night on February 7th, we're going to have Out of the Darkness, and we're going to wear all white to school that day. Okay, so we're going to wear all white, and then we're going to smile at everyone, and we're going to love everybody. Okay, and we're going to pass out invitations. Okay, so that's Out of the Darkness on February 7th. So if you know a friend that struggles with cutting, a friend that struggles with saying, I don't have anything worthy in my life, it's hopeless, invite that person. And what color are we wearing? White. Okay, so DJ Kirk is coming the 14th. So you invite your friends on the 7th, Out of the Darkness, and then a week later, DJ Kirk is coming.